Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee, your tea, or your water, and sit back and let's talk about astrology. And today we're going to talk about the gene keys. And let's see, good morning to everybody out there who's listening. I'm glad to have you with us today. Hallelujah. The void, of course, moon is over. The moon has now moved into Pisces. Good morning, Michelle. Good to see you out there. And I know you're just listening because you're driving, but I just wanted to let everybody know that Michelle is a great sounding board for me because I don't know what it is. I think we just have these mirror image things going on, and she will often say things or do things or text me something that really gets me to thinking and starts moving me in a certain direction. And so today we're going to move in a couple of different directions, which is in no small part due to Michelle, but also to all of you out there, because you all sort of awaken different parts of me that I want to share. So today the moon is in Pisces. Let's see. Good morning, Suzanne. Good to see you. And I'm sure we'll be tapping, others will be tapping in here in a few minutes. This morning, the moon moved into Pisces, something like 3:54 a.m., broke the spell of the very long void, of course, moon. Thankfully, because yesterday I was seemingly at odds with myself. I had no clue what to do. There was no real plan in place about what do you do today. I mean, I actually had things to do, but I decided to change up some things on my website and had, let's just call it limited success with that yesterday, as my mind came up against my fingers that didn't want to type the same things that it was a crazy day. I should have known better than to try to start something like that on a void of course moon. Good morning, Londa. Good morning, Mimi. It's good to have you girls with us this morning. So let's talk a little bit about the moon in Pisces. Once a month, we get through this, right? Where everything becomes a little bit more dreamy, a little harder to pin down. The moon stirs up our spiritual psyches and creates sometimes a problem with our ability to deal with the real versus the ideal. But it does give us a huge sort of tap into our insight or our intuition. And when we are able to do that, the first thing my husband said to me this morning when I got up was, wow, I had crazy dreams last night. And he said they just seemed to go from one to another to another. And without sharing what the dream was, trust me when I say it was totally crazy, as I sat there going, what is going on in his subconscious mind? Oh my God. But that's the question I always ask myself, right? What's going on in my subconscious mind when I wake up from those kind of dreams? In fact, I had a dream not too long ago. I think it was just before the weekend started, of a giant tidal wave, and it was coming in and I could see it build. And I know when I have those kind of dreams that it's something significant emotionally or something significant happening in my life, or sometimes it's about me, but in this case, I was in observing mode. And what I was observing was my daughter, Jennifer. And I was seeing her not paying attention to this emotional thing that was happening. And I'm calling out for her, Jennifer, Jennifer, and making her pay attention to me so that she could run from this wave. And at the very last second, she realized what was happening and she ran and she climbed the stairs with me and we were safe from the wave, although that wave, you know, was able to crash up on the windows, but we were safe inside. So when I have those kind of dreams, I know kind of what's happening on an emotional level or on a spiritual level. Even in my physical waking days, I get it, right? There's this subconscious thing that I can point to. But when the moon is in Pisces, sometimes these are bringing up, these dreams are bringing up deeply buried, maybe secrets or subconscious things that you have yet to transmute or to transform in your lives. So stay open to whatever is happening in the dream state, whatever it is that is coming to you insight-wise or intuitively, because it may just be the secret key that you need to transmute or transform something from your subconscious mind. Now, on top of that, today the moon is in a sextile with Uranus. A sextile is a 60 degree angle. It is a positive angle. It is an angle where they share gifts and talents freely, and where there's a sort of flow or affinity that happens between the two bodies. And the moon, of course, our soul, our emotional selves, our intuition, our inner knowing, with, and Uranus being the rebel, the awakener, the one that takes and shakes you up a bit. And that means today that we have the real possibility of tapping into our intuition, where sometimes the world, you know, with Taurus being the home of Uranus right now, we can tap into not only our own higher wisdom, but we can also tap into the more ancient earth wisdom. So what we really see here is that we have this ability, this possibility of tapping into our genius as we move forward through the day. We might be able to make surprising breakthroughs in territories we've not been able to make. Maybe an impasse that we've been sitting at is broken as we welcome sort of these aha moments or these epiphanies. And be surprised by that. Be surprised of the magic that can happen during those times, right? When something just comes to you. I want to share a story one time how something very surprising happened, and I swear it had to have happened in a moon sextile or trine Uranus day. I don't know if many of you know this, but several years ago, back in 2004, even though the process began in 2002, I started a metaphysical bookstore in a little town, a little hick town in Washington State called Cedarwoy. And when I say Hicktown, you know, they drive big trucks, they wear cowboy boots and jeans, and it's crazy. It's a wonderful town. And I decided to start a metaphysical bookstore in a town like this. And people would ask me later, why did you do that? I went, easy, I live here, right? I lived in Cedarwoy. Of course, I'm going to start a store where I live because I don't want to drive 10 miles to go to work. And so I began this project out of a major aha that happened. My friend and I were sitting, we were at this was right around the 4th of July. In fact, I want to say that the date was actually June 30th of 2002, perhaps, that this started. We were at a picnic, a town picnic, and a community picnic. And so we were sitting, our kids were playing on the playground because our kids were still fairly young then. And we were sitting on the wooden bench that surrounded the playground. And she said, oh, I got to go to the restroom. And I said, okay, fine. So she goes off to the restroom and I sat there watching the kids. And I mean to tell you, it was like a lightning bolt. Right down through me. By the time she got back from the bathroom, I had rearranged our entire lives. The whole idea for the store, which became Mystic Moon, downloaded to me in a moment. And all I had to write on was a little ATM receipt and a pen. And so we wrote out the plan for Mystic Moon on the back of this little ATM receipt. That's what can happen. That caliber of thing can happen to you when the moon is making this kind of connection to the planet Uranus. I'm not saying it's going to be that crazy or that monumental, but it's all relative, right? I mean, what's monumental to me is different than what's monumental to you. So just be open. We have, let's see, how many days do we have of this? We have three. We have until Thursday afternoon with the moon sitting here in Pisces, but a very shorter period of time where the moon is in this kind of connection to Uranus. All right, what else is going on? Well, today we also have an inconjunct going on between the sun and Mercury in a conjunction and Jupiter. Let me show you what an inconjunct sort of looks like. Let me get my black pen here first, my bold pen. I'm going to draw a line so you guys can see it, because I think the dashed line that it shows up with in the... Okay, so here we go. This is what the chart of the day looks like. Every morning, by the way, I draw this chart up It's very easy. You just go to astro.com. Over on the right side, scroll down a bit and it says chart of the moment. You can click on that and it gives you what the chart looks like at that moment that you're drawing it up. So I call it the chart of the day because to me, this is what starts our day. And what you see is this line drawn between the sun, moon, or sun, Mercury conjunction over here in Gemini over to Jupiter that is in Scorpio. And an inconjunct is an area, it is an, excuse me, an aspect that really creates a dynamic need in us to be able to adjust our strategies, our lives in some way, and also sometimes to sacrifice something, right? We all have these sacred cows, these things that we think we're never going to change. For instance, I often think about, it's not that I think about this, but it occurs to me at times, how sustainable is it for me to do these morning broadcasts 5 days a week? It comes up, I love doing it. And so I keep saying to myself, okay, I'm going to keep doing this because I love to do it. But it is a lot of work on my part, right? And there's a lot that goes into it, but I love it. So I keep it, right? But there may come a time, I don't know when that might be or why I would have to do it, but there may be a time when I would have to give that up in order to adjust my life to encompass something else, another pathway forward. And we all face times like this where we have to give something up or we have to adjust our strategy or adjust our life path to accommodate the changing circumstances in the world that we live in or in our personal lives or in our personal worlds. And that's what's up today. The Sun-Mercury conjunction in Gemini is really about what's going on in the mind. And Jupiter down in Scorpio is going on in the emotions. So what might we have to let go of or adjust between the emotional self and the mind? What is the mind telling you? What is your mind telling you, right? That you are emotionally not connected to or is creating this emotional thing for you that you can let go of, right? What is your sacrificial cow going to be? What is your sacred cow? That's the question, right? What are you holding on to that you thought you could never let go of, that it's almost time for you to let go of, right? That's huge. And sacrifice is an interesting word because today, one of the main lesson for the day, we're going to dive into the energy of the Gene Key 19, which is where Mars moves next week. And I wanted to give you a heads up about all of that energy because sacrifice is a part of the experience that we will now employ in our outer world as Mars moves forward its eventual retrograde station. So let's take a look out here. I see some comments popping up. And I see this one from Jessica Hughes. Welcome, Jessica. I just found you and feel like I need this time with you. So I hope it's not too soon. Nope, you're right on time. You are right on time. And thank you, Jessica, for joining us and welcome. Good morning, Michelle Brooks. And Natasha says, we loved it. I'm thinking that you're talking about Mystic Moon because Natasha is a friend and neighbor. Or we lived in Cedro Woolley at the same time, let's say, and she participated in Mystic Moon. It was a wonderful place. It was way ahead of its time for a place like Cedro Woolley, and it was lovely. Anyway, so thank you, Natasha. And Michelle Gay says, my phone lagged. What did I do? You didn't do anything wrong. What is it about human beings that as soon as somebody's hears their name, they're like, oh, what did I do? You didn't do anything wrong. You just create, you often create an opening for me to talk about something or give me fodder for thinking about something. And then it turns out I get to talk about it. And I don't want to get any more specific than that right now. All right, you can call me later and we'll have a conversation. So today, let's go back 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact Mars, maybe it was longer, time flies when we're having fun. We were talking about the planet Mars and the fact he moves retrograde on June 26th of this month. June 26th is this month, and that is just, 3 weeks from now? And in that process, as a planet begins the slowing down, you know, it doesn't just turn retrograde, right? It is a process. It seems to be slowing down as in it takes longer to move through the sky. And so it spends more time wherever it is. And that means there's more focus put on the energies that the planet is going through at the retrograde, just before the retrograde, then during the retrograde, and then after the retrograde, because it picks up speed, right? Your car doesn't go 0 to 60 just like that. It takes some time to move it up to 60, as well as when you go to brake, it takes some time to slow down. And that's what we're kind of looking at here, is this planet is now slowing down. And as it slows down, it puts more emphasis on the degree span that it's sitting at, right? Okay, so that's the backdrop. When we were talking about Mars initially, it was conjuncting the South Node. They were both sitting at gate 41, and we were talking about how it was time for us to take our dreams and make them manifest, right? They can't just stay up here in the ethers. We can't just keep holding on to this dream or this fantasy life. I suppose you could if you wanted to, but it would become more and more frustrating for you to do that, because then you're never really taking your light and shining it outward into the world, right? It's like you're holding on to the flashlight with the light, you know, covered, and you don't want anybody to see what your beautiful fantasy is. And then now is the time, right, for us to take those things and to bring them out into the world slowly. And maybe not something drastic all at once, because there is a retrograde involved. All right. So now, as we move into next week, and remember, it took me 3 or 4 days to go through this with you, because we're going to look through the shadow, then we're going to look through the gift, and then we're going to look through the Siddhi, which is just a Sanskrit word that means the highest expression of that frequency of that gene key or that gate in human design speak. And of that astrological span, if we want to look at it through Western astrology. And Mars in human design and in the gene keys really represents a maturing process. So wherever Mars is in your chart, it is something that you at first greet with an immaturity, born out of maybe not having experienced it before, or having experienced more of the lower frequency energies. And it's a part of your growth and expansion in this lifetime to mature through whatever it is that Mars is sitting at. Okay. And that's, you know, in astrology, Mars has a different meaning. It's more about dynamic action and forward motion. It's very masculine energy. But in human design and in the gene keys, we take that action and we apply it toward a maturing process. And I guess you could make that same case in astrology as well. We just don't look at it that way as much in astrology as we do through the system. So as Mars is slowing down, it is still moving forward. And it moves into a degree span taken up by the gene key 19 or the gate 19. And I didn't bring my sample chart out, so let me see if I can find that real quickly. And if we look for the gene key or the gate 19, it's sitting down here on the root center near, it's in the same general area as gate 41 was. There's gate 41 and here's gate 19. And it's moving upward toward the emotional center, right? The emotional center and the root center. And gate 19 is called the gate of sensitivity in human design. In the gene keys, the three levels are codependence as the shadow, and sensitivity is the gift. But the highest expression of the gene key 19 is sacrifice. Now, I don't know about you, but sacrifice to me is filled with preconceived notions about what it means, right? It feels like I'm giving up something. And so I'll be really interested in the next couple of days as we go through this to find out how it is we move from codependence and why the highest expression of this gate is in sacrifice. So come along with me on this little journey as we go through now what is the gene key 19's shadow of codependence. And this gene key's title is called the future of the future human being. So we get a glimpse already that there's something important here for us to look at, something quite possibly mutative, evolutionary, and indeed this is something that is hugely moving through the evolution of human beings. So the first thing we want to look at then is, what is codependence? And I know there's all kinds of different ways that we could describe codependence, from a psychological viewpoint, maybe even from a relationship viewpoint, etc. And the definition that I'm going to work with here is that it is the state of consciousness below independence that relies on outside agencies for survival. What do I mean by that? Well, outside agencies, meaning we're not just standing on our own two feet, we're requiring that we be anchored to someone else or to something else for our survival. Where independence implies that we rely upon ourselves, right? This is not value judgments, by the way. As I get deeper into this, I know I'm going to probably trigger some things for people, but I just want you to understand this isn't personal. This is really evolutionary where we're headed. And there's no real sense that one is better than the other. It is just the state that we find ourselves in. So let's go back in time. Let's go back to ancient man. Primitive man relied on nature for survival, right? Everything was about living in a balance, if you will, with nature, and or even sometimes living at the behest of nature, right? Because there would be storms and cold, and they had to live within the natural cycles of what living here on Earth was all about. And so often then in primitive man, they anthropomorphized nature, and it became a situation where they created gods to explain what was going on the planet or what was going on in their outside world. Anthropomorphized just means giving something inanimate human qualities. So there became the gods of nature, right? The god of the sky, the god of the earth, or the goddess of the earth. And so our world was filled with these different gods. So what we see here is thus all, hold on. My husband is a emergency worker. Sorry about that. He promised me he turned down the sound, but unfortunately, I think whenever there's an emergency alert, it bypasses the volume and just goes straight to as high as it can. So I apologize. That was just a test. There's nothing emergency-like going on, thankfully. But if there was, of course, that would have scared me because I'm home alone and I still am human and I get into fear. All right. So what we see then out of this primitive need to be able to rely on nature for survival and feel like we were connected in some way, all of the world's major religions were born out of this shadow of codependence. Our relationship then with God was based on a need for our relying on an outside authority, right? So religion developed around that need for us to have that codependent type of relationship. And as long as we believe that there is a God outside of us, we remain powerless and victims of this shadow of codependence. So in creating God out there, we've forgotten the power that we have of God within us that lies dormant within us, but he's awakening. It's awakening. We are awakening because there's a powerful mutation that is moving through humanity right now. And we see it in that science and technology field that has broken down. Good morning, Roseanne. She says, I have arrived. Something must have been going on in her outer world. So there's this powerful mutation that's moving through humanity. And we see it, for example, in science and technology that's moving us closer and closer to a state of independence. The more we advance, the more we question God, and the more we question religion. And I don't know if you guys watched Stephen Hawking, basically, this, I know he's passed on, so I won't speak ill of the dead, but he was credited with killing God, right? And of course, he's passed on, and now he knows the real truth of how the universe works. And that was probably his quest all along. But in some respects, he was on a television show that really, there were even, you know, Twitter feeds that said, Stephen Hawking killed God. And essentially then what was happening here is the more and more that we advance and become independent, the more and more we see that there isn't something outside of us, a God outside of us. And as a result, religions are dying, right? As this ancient codependent relationship that we've had with God mutates, religions die. They're losing their hold. And as an outer picturing of that, what we see is the world dividing, right? It's like, you know, we have this amoeba, and when amoebas divide, they close off, they wall off, and then they pull apart until they finally become separate, right? So right now, that's what's happening. The world is now dividing itself into these two quadrants, people who are independent of that search for God or religion, and those people who still remain dependent upon it. And we just saw this playing out yesterday, by the way. We saw this playing out in the Supreme Court ruling about, again, no judgment here. That's not what my point is, because as everybody said, there were some really key points that came out about this, where the law landed on the side of religious freedom, right? If your religious beliefs prohibited you from selling something to a person out of your beliefs, that maybe, you know, like this was about a wedding cake, I believe it was, or flowers or something. They didn't want to sell to people who were getting married in a lesbian or a homosexual relationship. And the law said that they can absolutely practice their spiritual beliefs and not do that. And of course, we made the cases, Londa and also Mimi later on made the case that, you know, why would you want the energy or the frequency of someone's hate or somebody's discrimination in your wedding cake? I mean, you wouldn't, right? But what we're seeing in the outer world, it isn't about that. It isn't about that at all. It's not about the details. It's about the fact that religion is dying. It is losing its hold on the world, and it's doing everything it can to scratch in and hold on to its old place. Now, this isn't something that happens overnight, right? This is happening over time. And I don't know if this completes its route in our lifetimes. Is on its own time schedule. It is not on humans' time schedule. So the world is dividing into those who remain codependent versus those who become independent. And it's reflected back to us even in the way that we deal with one another in relationships, right? Think back to the 50s where the very marriage relationship was pretty much the man went to work and the woman stayed at home with the kids. Right? And that dynamic that changed so powerfully over time to where now literally that codependent relationship between a husband and a wife, or within the confines of the contract of marriage has totally changed, right? No more does a woman just stay home because. In fact, now I think it's more like, oh my gosh, I would love the chance to be able to stay home and just be the mom. Unfortunately, the society that we live in has required that I go to work now and earn some money to be able to survive. Completely different story, but In other words, we can see how this mutation has been working through the outer world in the big things like religion and our relationship to it, and also in the inner dynamics that we have with one another in our marriages and in our relationships. So I wanted to go back and show you the codon rings graphic that I showed you a couple of weeks ago. Here's the codon rings. These are just representations for a code for amino acids in your DNA. And they're very powerful, right? They code for something. And in the gene keys, they are very geometric, very sacred geometry involved here. And today we're talking about the gate 19 or the gene key 19, which is part of the codon ring of Gaia. And that's made up with gene key 19, 60, and 61. So because we're dealing with the shadow, let's look at the shadow of these particular of this ring. The shadow, of course, of 19 is codependence. The shadow of 60 is rigidity or limitation. And the gene key 61's shadow is psychosis. These three energies, codependence, rigidity, and psychosis, have held sway over this planet for a very long time. And it's a chemical change that is happening on the DNA strand that we carry. It is a mutation that is happening in the chemical reactions within our DNA that is shaking our beliefs and our foundations, right? It is shaking this up. So it isn't something that we can point to in our outer world. It is something that is changing in our very DNA, in the smallest little pieces of who it is that you are. There's a chemical change occurring. And as this change occurs, what we've been seeing is how violence erupts and ripples out, because it's our natural inclination to react from fear. And so violence, that fear that ripples out as our consciousness begins to expand and break away from codependence, right? Now, that is not a foregone conclusion. I think we've seen, you know, we see it in the very war on terror, right? Where we have this dynamic of a runaway fundamental religion that we are at war with, that we have, whether it's real or not. Right. I question whether it's even a real war, but literally we have created a real war on terror, and we have terror all around. Right. There's all kinds of terror type incidents that are always happening. What do you think school shootings are? It's terror. Right. Plain and simple. And that fear that's rippling out is a symptom of the changes that are going on in our DNA. And there's a purpose to all of that. It isn't to punish us. It is to break the spell that fear has held us in, that separation has held us in for millennia. And it's ultimately leading us back to a space of unity, to a space of being one, a space of oneness. I know it's hard to see that right now. I have days where I'm like hopeless. This is like, this world is never going to change. But ultimately, all of the outer world things that we're seeing are really symptoms of this change that's occurring at the deepest levels of who we are. And all we can do in this as individuals is allow the process to happen. You can consciously connect with your DNA. That is not beyond us. We've just forgotten that. We've forgotten how powerful we as humans really are, because we've put our power in something outside of us. We've looked for God outside of us, but we are the gods we are looking for. The power resides within us. And at this level, we really have been breaking through to the knowledge that we are really much more powerful than we've ever imagined. And that you, even as an individual, this was also echoed at Mars's placement in gate 41, that ultimately on the deepest levels, we are in control of the light that comes through our DNA. And we can allow more and more light to exit from the ethers through the DNA in our bodies and outward into the world. Right? It's that energy that's coming into the crown, moving down through the body, grounding here on earth, coming back up, and then re-entering in that stream of neutrinos, of gamma rays, cosmic rays, you name it. They're all moving us through this very powerful evolution. All right. I don't see any questions. I see Roseanne saying, I feel it. Suzanne saying, yin and yang. Absolutely. And I see Marlene saying, good morning, Marlene. Religion is fading. And let's see what, there was something Suzanne said. There needed to be a God for him to kill first. Well, yeah. And all of this is right and perfect. There's nothing right or wrong here. This is just the way things are moving. And, you know, the more that we hold on to, the more that we hold on to the way things have been, the harder this becomes. I mean, this is happening. You either get on board with this rolling stone that is changing us, or you keep in resistance to it. Either way, the world is changing. So it's a matter of how do you react to it, right? Do you sign up and say, I'm with this, and allow this light to come flooding through you and change you? Or do you resist it and have all of these outer world reactions going on to that energy that's powerfully moving through here? Roseanne saying, are you an ambassador now? I'm still in the ambassador program. We are only moving into month 5 of it. We still have 4 more months to complete the program. But the gene keys changes you. It's a very deep and powerful study. It's a contemplation. And I didn't understand that word contemplation at first. I mean, sure, I understood the word, but I didn't understand the word in action. And contemplation is very powerful for us as humans to really go deep, to ask those questions. So I'm getting there, right? I'm getting there. And as I get there, I share these insights that I get with you guys. And I hope everybody understands that this is something that you're not a victim of. We are not victims of this, but it is happening. It is happening. Mimi says, fundamental religions disempower, spirituality opens the connection with source and empowers us. Right. Absolutely. Oh, wrong one. Roseanne says, oh, I love contemplation. That's awesome too. Here's what Mimi said. So I think we have enough that we've gone through for today. Tomorrow, we will take up the gift in the Gene Key 19, which is sensitivity. And what does that mean for us? Well, we'll find out manana. Also, I wanted to let you know, I posted yesterday late in the afternoon on the Living Astrology Facebook page about a guest who reached out and connected with me yesterday who wants to appear here on the show with us in the morning. She will be here on Thursday. She is another astrologer who is also focused on relationships. And her focus, though, is on the shadow. So interesting, right, that this is a shadow. If you look at these gene keys, what they say, the lowest expression is the shadow. So we're dealing with the shadow of codependence, and how opportune is it that she studied Jungian psychology and is also very much aware of the shadow. And the book that she wrote is called The Shadow Dance, Seeing Astrology Through the Seventh House, or The Seventh House Astrological Relationship. I forgot the name of the book. I'm so sorry. But it is posted on the Living Astrology Facebook page. She will be joining us Thursday morning. I have another treat for you guys in a couple of weeks. And I'm just giving you a heads up because this won't be a part of the morning show. This will be a secondary broadcast later in the day to accommodate my guest who lives in Australia. So for her to come on the show at 8 in the morning my time makes it somewhere in the middle of the night her time. So at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on June 20th, which is a Wednesday, my guest will be Nikki Gill, and she is a feng shui consultant and has very much learned Chinese astrology. And trust me when I say it is so much deeper than what I thought, right? I just thought, oh, I'm an ox, right? I was born in the year of the ox. Well, there's so much more to it as I every astrology. And she is going to be with us to talk about Chinese astrology, to offer you up Chinese astrological readings and feng shui consultants, if that's something you're interested in. And that will be again on June 20th at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. East Coast time. So mark that on your calendars. I'm sure I'll be talking about it more In the meantime, thank you all for joining me this morning. It was lovely to see some new faces out there. Lovely to have all of my regulars with me. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Mwah! Much love to everyone. Bye.